I like when things are moving and it's dynamic. So I think I found the perfect industry for me because you're never bored. If you get bored, you just go outside your office and there are guests and they're on holiday usually and they're so happy to talk to you. And it's so inspiring because you really meet people from all over the world. So that's so exciting industry. Not easy because you work with people, with also as with team, but it's so exciting.
Welcome to the podcast From Farm to Fork by Total Control. My name is Ricardo Monagas and I will be your host. On this podcast, we will talk with leaders in the hospitality industry, managers in the municipalities institutions, investors, farmers, producers, and disruptors in the food sector. We will get to know their journeys, ways to be more sustainable, streamline their food inventory management, prevent food waste, and other important points in their day-to-day operations. Thanks for joining us, and let's get started. Hi, everyone. Today we are talking with Martina Lazarova. She is the managing director of Sweet Hotel Prague, and she is also managing director of MIJ Hotel Advisor. She has plenty of experience in the field of the hospitality industry in the Czech Republic and has been working from small hotels to big ones. So we hope to have a pleasant conversation to know about her story in the hospitality industry and learn more about this interesting field and what they are doing in her hotel. So welcome, Martina. How are you?
I'm fine, Ricardo. Nice to see you again.
So it has been a long time since we have met, and maybe to give some context to the people in the audience, so we have met in the Prague Innovation Week, right? And so it looks like you are really looking for knowledge and participation in a lot of conferences, because I also was checking your LinkedIn post and you are really active in conferences and events.
Thank you. Yes, I'm trying to improve all the time on personal development, but I think always when I attend some different conference, not only from hospitality, it brings me some ideas what to improve in hospitality, because different industries, different points of view.
Got it. So you really like to bring some knowledge from other industry into your day-to-day operations, right?
Exactly.
Good. And since you have been mentioning about the hospitality industry, so how does this story start for you? What brings you to this area of work?
I believe I'm like natural hotelier, let's say. Because I like to help people, I like to make people happy. And when I was deciding what to do in my life, I was like, I like the movies, you know, when you have hotels, when I was a kid, because it is so different from normal life, so I like it. There are some secrets, you know. I like the reception. It's like in theater. So I studied hospitality and I start, of course, into hospitality. And I hope I will stay in hospitality and customer care industry all my life, because there is nothing else, I know. But it's nice because you see different situations. People start travel when they are only together. They are romantic stays. Then they travel with kids. You have all the nationalities. It's so diverse. And I like when things are moving and it's dynamic. So I think I found the perfect industry for me, because you're never bored. if you get bored, you just go outside your office and they are guests and they are on holiday usually, and they are so happy to talk to you. And it's so inspiring because you really meet people from all over the world. So that's so exciting industry. Not easy, because you work with people, with also as with team, but it's so exciting.
Okay, and you have mentioned several points that you love about the industry. If you have to choose one, what is the stuff that you love the most? Is that connection with the guests, or is more the internal operations as well? Yeah.
Of course, it's more and more important, the interaction with the guest, because I'm really happy that reviews like on TripAdvisor and Booking exists. Because I think this is really crucial and it's a key. We should really take care about the customers while they are in-house. It was not always. You know, with some groups, with paper, still paper hospitality, guess they didn't have a chance to share their experience or their opportunity, especially in Prague. There were a few hotels, and when the team members were not quite professional, well, there was no chance how to share this. So now we as a management have instant feedback, because you make something wrong and the other day it's on TripAdvisor or any OTA reviews. So I like this life, it's like life organism. And I think it's good. It's good for the competition, for improving of the services. And at the end, guest is the winner. And that's right. So this interaction, and it's every hotel is like city in the city.
Got it. And it's as you have mentioned, it's an always evolving situation for you, and for to always being optimizing stuff or improving it.
No routine in in our segment, but of course we improve. Technology is helping us to improve also, and also what you need the most, it's high patience.
Yeah.
Because
for sure,
guest is always right, even though he's not right.
Okay. Yeah, so this would be one of the quotes of the podcast conversation today. So that the guests are happy to hear that and visit your hotel. But you also have mentioned that there are some challenges. So what you see as the most, or what are the challenges of running a hotel from your point of view?
I believe all the managers would reply the same as its employees, because our business, it's working 24 hours all year around, day shift, night shifts. So it's not always the best industry if you have family. I'm lucky that my husband and I met in the hotel. So he understands that when there is emergency situation, you just need to go to the hotel and to solve it. But most of young people now, they protect their personal life more than our generation. And they don't really appreciate going to work during the weekend, for example. So we have still employees which are excited about the industry. There are still enough team members which are really passionate, and I'm so happy about that. But during COVID, they realized there are also different companies, especially corporate, and in Prague, you have really wide choice. So some of them, we lost them, they changed the jobs, and they are more happy not working during weekends and nights, and I fully understand it's not for everybody.
Got it. And is there any change that has happened for you in your hotel or that you see in the entire Czech market about how to improve this situation that you have team members which can be happy to work in the hospitality industry and try to retain more talent into this topic? So is there any change?
Generally, the prices, the wages, salaries increased, and I'm happy for that, because when you see some reports, it was undervalued, I believe. So the wages, salaries increased, is good news. And we use technology more and more. I always try to be the pioneer, testing and trying to get rid of admin work, to get rid of the job which was more with paper, and for the employees to more speak with the guests, not only doing admin and the work which nobody want to spend time with. So this is, I try to make our work more fun.
Yeah, of course, that's a good approach, and completely agree with that. It's more the combination. Of course, not every type of activities will be something we are happy to do, for sure. But if you in your everyday life still have some positive engagement with the guests or something like that, then the motivation keeps, right?
Exactly.
As in the introduction, I have said you have been working in different hotel size and stuff like that, and different experiences. So do you have any moment in your career now that you have been the most proud of that maybe you can mention to us?
Well, I was really proud that I was able to persuade the owners during COVID times to keep all the employees. Because COVID itself was stressful for everybody. That was a really bad time for all services, I believe. And I have many employees with me more than 5, 8, some of them 12 years. Mm-hmm. And many hotels, not only in Prague, were saying goodbye to employees, even after such a long time. So I persuade the owners to keep them, that I'm sure we will make it somehow, that I truly believe that we can't be locked for a long time, and that really we can make it. And I think that was really a good decision, because now employees are more and more expensive. It was very difficult to get people back, to train them. And our employees were receiving calls now if they want to change the job. They offer them more money, and they're happy to stay with us. So I'm really proud of my owners and my team, because it's really a pleasure that you can be with employee for 12 years. He exactly or she exactly know what's the task, because you don't have to explain it for a long time. They know the hotel, they have the product knowledge, that we have returning customers. So this is really my best time. I really enjoy it. Also when I sometimes speak about it, because everybody know there were only few hotels keeping the employees. So I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, that's a good story. And of course, really happy for you to achieve this, since COVID times for sure were really hard times. Happily we are out of it, and hopefully there is no another black swan like that in the near future.
No revenue, no numbers can beat that. This is something with good team, you can do even better numbers, better results. And I feel it makes sense.
Yeah, because also if you would lay off people during that period, then you needed to find new people and train them. So that's kind of it's not a hidden cost, but it's it's not easy to account for that cost of learning, right? Like,
exactly.
Do you have, I know that we have already mentioned maybe different points that maybe could be contrarian to the hospitality industry itself or what other people are believing, but maybe we can remark it more, or even you can bring other beliefs that you have that maybe are different to what you see out there in the status quo of the Czech industry or other places in Europe.
What is contrarian in hospitality? Because I started in very large hotel, in Hotel Hilton Prague. It's, I think, 791 rooms. So it's one of the biggest hotel in Europe. So this is my first job. And I love the hotel. I love that it's big, and it was the only hotel I knew. So for me, it was normal, just normal hotel. And now some people tell me, you know, it's like a factory. It's so many rooms. I don't like big hotels. And personally, now I like smaller hotels, like the ones I manage around 30, 40, 50 rooms, boutique hotels. So it's kind of contrary, because there are benefits of big hotels like Hilton. But there is, I also love small hotels. And it's same when you compare it to Czech Republic, Europe. They are really beautiful small hotels. And now it's more popular, especially in like in this ESG period, let's say, that people feel more attached to local hotels with no name, let's say. And I'm not saying that Hilton and other chains are going down, but it's kind of, I think, feel of the people that they should support more of this local, if we can call it contrary.
Contrary. Well, of course, I think it's part of that, right? It depends on the type of trip as well, I assume. But this is just my assumption, right? That if you are in a business trip, maybe you go to one of these chains because it's listing everywhere, maybe, or you are already used to it. But then if you go to holidays and it's something that maybe you are looking for that local touch, right? Like this authentic location.
And depends, of course, on the location, because I was opening one hotel in Africa, which was actually no name. And personally, if I would travel there alone, I would prefer chain, because you are sure about the standards. You know the hygiene standard. You don't know what to expect from the country. But maybe I'm too professional, you know. I know what's happening in the kitchen, so you are more careful about it.
Okay, got it. Well, but I have a similar story. I mean, I am not involved like in day-to-day operations of hotels, right? But of course, I've been collaborating with hotels with technology. But at least when I travel, then when it's a business travel, and typically going to a hotel group, because I know already, let's say, what I will expect, right, on the standard. But I was surprised that sometimes that's not the case, that even the same hotel groups, the standard can go down, even that you feel like, even if that's the same, in theory, is the same hotel group, and it should continue in the same level. I won't mention that. Yeah.
It's always about the leader. It's always about the general manager. Also, I saw some chain hotels which are really top, and some I was really disappointed. But it's always about the expectations. Sometimes from brand, you just expect more.
Yeah, also depends on how old is the hotel and stuff like that, right? Like, because one time I was comparing, of course, with a hotel from this chain that was completely recently new, and then the other was maybe too many years in operation, and they haven't upgraded yet.
Exactly. But it's a very interesting research, which I recently read. I think it was from TripAdvisor. And they found that now the service and experience from interaction, from like real customer care, from reception and all the team members, it's more for the first time than equipment. Because always it was equipment, location, of course. But now people understand that in the historical center, you just can't do some things. You just can't make complete reconstruction. And they value more really personal touches and extra mile steps that you do for the guest. And I think that that's how it should be. Not every hotel can be new all the time.
Of course, of course. Yeah, and I think since we have been talking about this topic of being authentic and this topic of, yeah, this human touch, that of course we are, with a lot of technology, maybe we are losing a lot of this touch too. And that's maybe one of the reasons why people want to be more interactive in hotels or in vacation, right? I know that you have this small accommodation as well called Rubens Galiska. So, yeah, what is about this place? What is the story from you? And that, yeah, you can tell us a bit about that. And, yeah, what are you looking for with this location? Yeah.
Well, it's our family cottage. During COVID, I got bored, you know. There was not so much happening in hotels, and that's the only property I know, I own, from which I work for. And so this is my personal project. We start to build it for the family, but it kind of get out of control in the meantime, because we made it for 12 people. We had kids, and my father and his new wife, I'm calling new wife, but they are together for more than 20 years. Together they have 11 aunts, or how is it called? Grandchildren.
Grandchildren, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. 11. So we said we have to make it big. So we have 3 bathrooms. We have 4 rooms. We made the baby corner where there are all toys. And then we said, okay, so why not to rent it? Because during COVID, everybody want to escape to the mountains. And it was a really good idea. And at the end, I'm really happy, because we can share the joy from that house, because of course we can't use it every day. We use it very much during winter, summer. We go for weekends, but we want more people to be happy and to spend time together. And especially during COVID, I think people, three generations, people, they find out this is the most valuable time that you can have people, families together. And it's really nice, because most of our guests, it's three generations. And it's always nice to see, like, they enjoying time together, no matter about the weather, no matter if there is snow or not, because now there is not much snow in February. But still, it's something what made me really happy, and still making me very happy and proud.
Great. So it's a location where 3 generations of every family can come together and share a great moment, basically.
Yes. And it's, I'm a hotelier, so I know this is top location. So I was really confident. Because location is one of the most important for the accommodation. We made it high quality, and we put higher price because of course I want to keep it same and to keep it really nice. So the price is a little higher than the other cottages, but I think it was a good direction and people really appreciate that they don't have to pay extra for some pieces of wood, for coffee. Everything is included and they can just have good time. They can relax and they don't have to care about anything. They have everything in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they forget about all these details and that maybe is more work for them, right? And is this something that I know that at least in the Czech Republic, there is this website called amazingplaces.cz, right? And I think you are listed there as well. Yeah, how does it work that people find you? Do you think these kind of places, like, well, websites are real amazing places, is good for you to attract visitors? Or, yeah, how is your relationship with this company, if you may comment into this, of course?
Yes, yes. We joined Amazing Places pretty early. I was not very confident because I want to make it like 5-star or 6-star before joining, but they arrived and said, Martina, it's absolutely perfect. You don't have to wait 5 more years to join us. It's absolutely amazing. And I'm happy they persuade me to join guests from Amazing Places really value their time. And it's a special project because it's connecting people who love traveling, who love hospitality, and they just want to save time. And when you saw the webpage of Amazing Places, you can just have a look and you can choose experience. And within few clicks, you can find perfect place for you. As I said at the beginning, depending on your perfect timing, if you want to travel with your partner, if you want to travel with the family, you just click and they will filter everything for you. And I think it's really perfect tool which Mr. Kotík made. And that was exactly what the market needed. Some extra label. They also visit the places time from time. They make events when we owners meet each other and share experiences to improve. And yes, the only what's connecting us, it's really love to traveling and nice places. And it's really nice that we found it. I'm really happy that we can be part of it.
Yeah, it's it was one of the sites that I visit when I want to travel, at least in the Czech Republic now. I think they are expanding, but yeah, it's a great place to check and book amazing places, as their name it is, right?
I think Poland, Austria is now there. And before I was searching on Booking or on Google, based on location and reading reviews. Because my concern as professional hotelier when I travel somewhere was I have limited time and I knew when I arrived to the property, which is not perfect, I'm not going to be happy. So it's kind of ruining your holiday or stay.
Yeah, it's a good curation site, let's say.
But of course, everything can happen. Any situation can happen. Any hotel, in any hotel, you can have really some problem. In spite of the fact I'm saying there is no problem in hotels, there is only situation and depends how you solve it. But really, we are humans. And I'm saying to my team members, mistake can happen, situation can happen, depends how you solve it. Depend how you treat the guest. We always have to treat guests with respect, explain. We are the ones who should stay calm and to solve it.
Yeah, of course. It's always how do you back up after a problem happened, right? And people will forget about the problem and then you solve it. So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I will switch a bit the gears towards now the hotel operations and the management and your experience in the different locations that you have worked with. So I know that, of course, hotels have this side of front end with the guests and, of course, bookings and stuff like that. But also there is this other part of food and beverage management and handling that their breakfast is good and nice and stuff like that. So, yeah, what are the challenges that maybe you have seen or faced into this area of food inventory and managing this side of the business?
This is depending on the size of the hotel, mm-hmm. but mostly in smaller hotel it's more difficult because there is no tool which is helping people to see some reports. Everything is still mostly on the paper, so mm-hmm. we still have to make so much work manually. The bigger the hotel, the more tools we have. And managers can see more information. So this is depending on the hotel. I hope even for the smaller hotel, there will be more technologies to help. And also it's about people who is working at the breakfast for the moment. And when you look in the restaurants, we have... I don't want to generalize, but usually it's a Ukrainian woman helping on the breakfast. So also this is the barrier with the technology, if you understand. So this is in the smaller hotel, it's on one hand more difficult than in the bigger hotels. So we managers we don't have really sophisticated reports. Of course, we calculate the food cost. We need to follow the track, but it's not so easy. And also the education for the team members to avoid food waste. It's never ending story. Before it was normal that you throw away the food. I never like it because my grandfather, he was working as a farmer all his life. So I saw how difficult it is and how hard it is to bring the tomato or potato on your table. That it's really somebody has to wake up 5 in the morning. Somebody has to water it, you know. So from the beginning, when I saw how much food is thrown away, I had a real problem to see it. So anytime it was possible, we were thinking even in the small hotels, like, look, what was left from today breakfast? What you gonna do with it? And they said, I'm gonna throw it away. No, you can make a cake. You can make fresh. You can make this and that. Before, the barrier was hygiene. Regulation, but now even this is better, and it helps us to reduce the food waste to minimum. And since the food is more expensive, when we can all see it every day, so even for hoteliers, the prices increased a lot, like 20%, 30%, 40%. So what we started, the journey we started, we just continue. So we can really limit the food waste. And I'm really glad that people understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting topic in general, because of course there is no one solution that fits food waste, right? It depends on the ingredients, it depends on the type of hotel that you are running and the different ways that you can serve food and so on. So I was wondering, because of course we have the experience from the Norwegian market towards that people is counting, or they are reporting to the government or to accounting about what they have in their storages every month. but is this something mandatory there? So what is the case in the Czech Republic? Is this something that you guys need to do, or is only internal decision that you want to control your inventory, of course, for financial purposes, but also maybe this helped you to prevent food waste because you don't waste something that you have a storage there, right? And
we do inventory for ourselves regularly, mm-hmm. but as per the law, you have to make it once a year put it in accounting.
Yeah, it is
actually nobody can check, you know. I would not imagine here or different countries if I put, like, I have 10 sugar boxes in the storage and somebody come to check it.
I got it. So it's more like kind of a trust system, right? That you need to report it. But yeah, of course, no one will come and knock your door. Hey, let me check your storages, right?
And you also see, and you have to plan as per the nationalities. I think it's very well known, but maybe I'm too inside. But we are also checking what nationality of the guest is coming. So when you have Italian guest, you know, dolce is coming and you have to buy more pastry and croissants. And if you have German guest, you have to buy the bratwurst, you have to buy the sausages and different salami. So you have to also plan and see and forecast this because it's normal. And sometimes they really eat even more than we expect. So I cannot blame my people. Like, look, what happened? You've eaten all the croissants for 2 weeks in 1 week. But we know there was Italian group and that's it. So you have to also see what's behind. And it's really about the planning. In hospitality, we can't plan everything, but you can plan many things. And good manager can really save a lot of money to the hotel and also to the food waste this way.
Mm. And in your personal experience, do you use any technology, tools or any product into this planning part that maybe you can mention for people to know? Or?
We can see from property management system what are the nationalities. Not only number of the breakfast, and we plan it this way. When I see what's in the books for 1 or for 2 weeks, because number, it's not saying anything. For example, here in Sweet Home, we have many kids. So also you have to buy more yogurts, you have to buy more fruits, more special sweet things that they love. If kids are happy, parents are happy. So,
yeah, for sure.
Not really technology, but we use the reports from property management system.
Yeah, so I am assuming that you get the data of your bookings and the nationalities, let's say, of your bookings for the next 2 weeks, and then out of that you will plan your purchasings to different foods or other category of products, right, that you need.
Exactly. And in bigger hotels, they have better planning because they have more nationalities. But of course, you know, what are the main nationalities for your hotel. As you said, they are conference hotel. You know who is coming. In leisure hotels, you know, you will have the you have some segment, and also it's different based on the seasons. So, you know, in March, there are more Italians coming. In May, you have more German guests. So also, we are long time in hospitality, and we know which nationality is traveling when. Of course, there are exceptions, and depends on your family situation, but we can plan very easily on our experience also.
It sounds great. So is there now talking, because you had mentioned about these reports, but I assume that for you to manage your hotel, you need to have certain key metrics that are important for you to kind of maybe check every week or in certain period of time to understand how healthy is your business and how everything is going, right? Can you mention what are these metrics for you and as a general manager? And maybe if you have a food and beverage manager, do you have any similar metrics or do you have seen this happening? Yeah, sorry.
there are like metrics which we use long time, like average daily rate, of course, the revenue, occupancy, and I don't want to say old school metrics, but metrics every owner want to see because banks won't know them, for example. But we started with the new metrics because, you know, I'm innovative. So it's, for example, revenue per square meters, because it's saying something else. Of course, with F&B, we are counting food cost, but depends on the quality of the hotel. You have to really buy high quality orange juice. You have to buy high quality marmalade. So I can have pretty good food cost, but the satisfaction for the breakfast would be very bad. So it's connected and you have to be with some limit. So also I think you need kind of feel how much it should be. And if it's really there is some amount, you see some big difference, you have to check it, you have to go for it. Because when you see some costs are increasing, you have to react very, very quickly. Also, we want to see the web conversion because we want to control the marketing cost. This is also important. And we follow very much in smaller hotel this sentiment score. So you see whether your satisfaction with the service, it's increasing. When there is some problem, you need to follow up very quickly. For example, we are trying to improve breakfast all the time. So we visit different hotels in Prague to see what we can improve. It's not competition, but it's improving of your product. So when we saw in one hotel, there were more and more comments about breakfast, you have to react very quickly because everything is online and new reviews are coming. So you have just few weeks to solve it. So this sentiment score, I think it's very important. And some researchers show that it's bringing better average daily rate, of course. Everybody who is traveling know that hotels 9+, you have to pay more because there is kind of guarantee that you have better service, you have better experience. So this is something which is also important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds interesting that you, if I understood you well, you are also checking what are the reviews happening or situations happening in other hotels based on, let's say, TripAdvisor or other platforms like this. And then maybe this helped you to learn out of those experiences and implement it in your hotel, right?
Exactly, because if you have hotel and every second review is you have bad mattresses, well, you will not have satisfied guests before you change it. But we are happy for this feedback and we are listening. But of course, sometimes it takes time to collect money and to invest. Not every hotel owner is a billionaire. Sometimes they have just this property and we need to earn so we can invest. So sometimes it's not so easy.
Of course.
And we, because technology is topic, so direct revenue, we are looking for so much because you are saving money on third party commission and you have more loyal customers. So this direct ratio is also very important to keep. In COVID, most people, most of the guests, they saw okay, I better call the hotel directly because I'm not sure if the information or on other platforms are correct or not. So during COVID, we saw the increase of direct booking and we want to keep it.
Yeah, that's interesting behavior change as well. Yeah.
Because really people were calling and asking like, is your hotel open? Not many of them were providing correct information. So
yeah, I'm happy that this...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's important what you said. Yeah, so that you want to keep that direct connection and of course, yeah, get the feedback as direct as possible. Right?
Perfect.
Yeah, I typically, if I travel, even if I use something like booking.com or stuff like that, anyways, of course, there could be some questions you have to hotel. The good part is that you have this chat, right, that you can interact with the person who is actually in the hotel operating it.
Yes, exactly. And I think people, they can see the difference when they book direct because we always try to give something extra, some bottle of wine, some small present when they travel, because the money we save on the commission, we can give directly to the guest. And I think it's win-win for both parts.
For sure. I will continue into another topic. It's that, well, we have touched a bit, but maybe I would like to hear your thoughts, since you have been visiting a lot of events, maybe not only in the hospitality sector, but also like Prague Innovation Week. What is your feeling towards the digitalization of the hospitality industry in the Czech Republic? Is this something you see that the hotels are improving step by step, not only about maybe the property management system, because it's quite fundamental, right? But do you see any other trends happening in the market?
Yes, definitely. I still remember faxing and all this paper time. So I'm really excited to see what we can use to make work easier and to improve the guest experience. So I was always pioneer implementing new technology things. For example, maybe you know DH, French company. I was the first, with my customer, I was the first hotel implementing this channel manager. So now there are hundreds and hundreds of hotels in Czech Republic. But I was the brave one. I'm really happy for that. And of course, if you have new tool, it's more difficult. But still, I think it's worth implement to change. And we have guest experience tools. We have personalization tools to sell the rooms on our web pages, which you can check in the report how it works. You can immediately change the tools there to perform better. It's really amazing how technology and AI change hospitality. And sometimes my colleagues, they don't want to implement because it's really painful sometimes. Because you have to set up, you have to test, you have to put so much information in the system, but I think it's worth it. It's something what will help us to make the service, product, everything better. So we, what I usually do, I try to test it in small hotel, and when it works and it's efficient, I recommend it to other hotels. Just to make sure I know how the tool works. And I'm really excited what now is on the market. And of course, sometimes the tool is not doing what you want, but still there is new competition. So you can always try new, but never give up. This is my advice. Try it. Sometimes it's not for every hotel, but really my recommendation is try the tool, spend the time implementing, and you will see the results are coming pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of an investment in the short term that maybe it feels painful, and then but in the mid-term or long term, it brings the fruits, right? And another stuff that maybe to see it as an analogy is that you basically are converting something that is on paper, that is not a structure and is not way to search it easily, to something digital that now you can play with it, let's say, or do search and stuff like that and get more insights. Then
exactly, yeah, for so example with events, like I saw some tools and you see many figures, you see the most profitable items, you see the most selling items, you can see what's the customers buying more, like some buffet, some coffee break. That you should say to sales manager, it's better that you sell this coffee break because this is the profit margin and you can really track, and system is really showing you nicely how to increase your profit. This is amazing. We never had such opportunity. And with simple steps, together with technology, you can make big things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's as you mentioned at the beginning, it's an ever-evolving organism that you need to go step by step and compound it. So in certain periods of time, you will get all the benefit of that. Since we're talking about technology, of course, it's kind of a big topic, but there is also the big topic of sustainability, which in the European Union. So, yeah, what are the actions or initiatives that maybe you are already in progress into this or are planning to do in the future? Or, yeah, what are your thoughts into this area for the hotel industry?
Well, I'm the member of Business Professional Women for more, I think, more than 8 years. I'm sure you're not surprised. And we were talking about these things for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's all ESG. And I think some work has been done, especially I start with empowering women, because I try really to support, to mentor my colleagues, not only in hospitality, but also try to find the best job for them, to fit the job for my colleagues with kids, to split the roles, to find, because if I had really great team member, I don't want to lose the team members, no matter whether it's man or woman. So I try really to fit the job and to make everything around her or him. So equal, really equal possibilities, support. And when there is some change in your life, I try to fit it to it so you can come back. I think this is important and it's small, but I think people really appreciate it. And it comes together with the government. Now it's not very easy to make part times, but still we are trying to offer this option, because I understand people are different. Not everybody want to work 8, 12, 15 hours. Some parents, they want to spend time with kids. They want to use this time. So we have to respect that everybody is different. This is important. So we try to educate also in this matter. And I think hospitality generally was always very sustainable in some way, because we start with the laundry decision. You can decide, no matter the hotel star, that you don't want to change your towels. For example, we change the mini cosmetic bottles to the dispensers, so it's more ecological. We start with separating also in smaller hotels that you can separate the waste. We changed the light bulbs a long time ago. Of course, we want to save the water. So I think we made this steps, but we were not talking about those steps we made so much. Now, with more marketing and greenwashing in the questionnaires, we are marking, yes, of course, we do it. And no matter the reason, but step by step, I think we make traveling more sustainable. And we all know that banks and corporates in the future, they will cooperate only with ESG companies and hotels included. In Germany, I think this law will be in place in 2026. So Czech Republic, I don't know. But I'm sure that big companies who are counting their ESG will also choose more wisely and together with this idea where to stay, where to accommodate their conference. I think it's important, and hotels who will follow it will be more, let's say, valued.
Okay. And do you plan to start measuring this data more? Because of course, I understand the different actions that for sure we have seen in the hospitality industry for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And my question goes more related to, yeah, so till now it's not something mandatory for hotels to count about, yeah, what is happening on emissions of the hotel and stuff like that. So is there anything that you have seen, not only in your own case in the hotel, but also in other hotel groups, that you have seen that what are they planning to do or already doing into this part of measuring this impact, comparing themselves, like maybe before, let's say, having the policy of the towels or the small bottles of cosmetics, how was that compared to now? So if there is any benchmark into those areas. Yeah.
There is one hotel in Prague, uh-huh, which has official certification for ESG, and it's Best Western, where Gabriela Prachařová made really good job. But it's one hotel in Prague.
Wow.
Who has this certification. So I'm really proud of her, because it's so many steps you have to make. But I want to continue in her path to have more hotels like that. And I'm sure this year and the other years you will see that it's significantly increasing. And in our hotels, we are having small report for the moment, which I created. But it's not official certification. It's something we do because we want to do it. And also it's together with the local communities. And as you mentioned, with the food waste, we try to support local products, local food. And we think more what we buy, from who we buy it. Recently, I was in ČSOB Bank in Radlická on E15 event, same like we met. And listening how new buildings are done, and then that you can really buy furniture only from recycled materials, that how they building new buildings with certification, that it's really incredible what is possible. So when I saw this speeches that it's really possible in the future when I will be buying some furniture, I will look for this recycled one. And it's small thing, and it's something what is put in your head, like idea. Next time when you will be planning, you will say, look, I will try next time this recycled furniture. It's really good idea, and it's small steps, but I think it's really important.
Yeah, for sure. It's the, as we talked before, like the small actions compounding, right? You have mentioned before also, yeah, about the your approach to try to accommodate to every team member situation, right, and life stage, which of course we understand that, yeah, is easy to say to someone works 12 hours a day when you are young and maybe in your 20s, but maybe it's not the same when you have a small kid at home and stuff like that, right? So not only talking about this part of this consideration, so what do you see of improvements that maybe are already happening or needs to happen in the industry towards these topics of diversity and inclusion for every, well, it's not only about this of being a parent, right? But there are other topics around this. So what are your feelings into this topic?
Well, I truly believe that equality at the end means business. So when you have a mother with kids, that she's able to work only 4 or 5 hours, I'm sure she will make everything during those 4 or 5 hours, if it's office work or if it's a waiter at the breakfast. And she will do it with a smile because she's happy to join the team, to change environment. We have really good experience with this. And it's motivation also for the others that they will have their place when the situation change. And I better have 2 different people on one position, both excited, than one person which is, it's so boring, you know, long day, let's go for another cigarette, let's go for another coffee. To keep that energy in the team, I think it's crucial in the hospitality to have people full of energy, same mindset like you, who appreciate they can come back. And also, on the recent event, I heard one story that woman approached her boss and said, look, we have a problem. Jana is pregnant. And the boss man said, wow, that's great, that's brilliant. But we have a problem. Well, it's not problem. She's pregnant. So sometimes women are saying these bad words, or maybe it was problem for her, of course, finding another employee. But we also have to change approach. Being pregnant is definitely not a problem.
Yeah, so, the way to communicate it as well, right?
Yes. So also the words are important because sometimes we can be really not nice to our colleagues saying those things. When I have employee approaching me, like I need to move on. I go to Switzerland. I need to study more. First reaction should be, oh, okay, I'm not happy. But this is not my reaction. I'm always happy because I can see the person can grow and maybe in few years he come back. For example, this was my colleague Sebastian. He was working here in Sweden, and now he's guest relation manager in Rome in Bulgari Hotel. Beautiful new hotel. And I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy to follow him. And I really appreciate where he get, and he will get definitely much higher. But sometimes when you approach the boss saying, okay, I'm sorry, I have to resign, you remember the reactions. Usually it's not very positive. So also, I also try to be supportive in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. So it's always remember that of to be positive first. And then, of course, yeah, of course, it brings some challenges to you personally if you are the manager, but it is all... there is always a way to find it, to find a solution, right?
And of course, I hope for discount from Sebastian. No, it's beautiful hotel. I'm really proud of him.
Yeah. Maybe he will later come back and give you a lot of his experience in the this other hotel that maybe will apply to you as well, right? Or even if he's not coming back as a member, but you always have a person that can you can talk about this topic and advise you from their point of view. Right?
Yes. And I think it's motivation, as you're saying, it's motivation for the other employees. When I started the reception 20 years ago, my manager was my idol. And I was learning and watching him, what he was doing. And it's really amazing that I can use this now. So if I'm inspiration for somebody, I'm really happy. And I'm always happy to help because there are good, bad managers. And it's really important to have somebody you can follow and you can inspire. And what is also important, even in our small hotels, it's education. I always try to do some trainings and education things during the year when there is low season. Some owners say, look, we have small team. You know, we don't need that. But you need development. You need to learn from your colleagues, from other hotels. You really need to work on yourself. So this is, I think, also very important. And this was something we had in Hilton maybe too much. We had many trainings. And sometimes it was, okay, again, training. You know. And when you change environment and you have no trainings, so you come in the company and there was 1 year no training. And I was approaching GM like, look, I think we need some training. And she said, but you are my director of sales. You know everything. You don't need any training. So it's different extremes. So I try to keep it in the balance in for my clients.
Yeah, it's important to keep evolving, right? So. Yeah, it's a balance. Maybe not every week you will be in a training, but yeah, maybe once a quarter is a good number. yeah, I think education is a topic that I will leave here for a pin. Like, let's say I will put a pin here and we will come back to it in a minute, just before going into that topic and maybe closing the conversation for today. But before going there, I wanted to also comment about your company, M&J Advisors. So, yeah, what are you doing into this part of your work life? So, is what the specific services or products do you have, which maybe could be important for someone of our audience listening to you?
Well, I'm hospitality expert, meaning I try, I think, all the positions in the hotel because I was curious to connect the dots. I'm so happy that I get this expertise and I can see how the hotel is connected throughout all departments. So actually, I started by accident, my company. Because people were asking me for help, how to make audit, to see what's the problem in the hotel, that people are leaving, managers are leaving, revenue is not good. So I start with consulting small hotels, then bigger hotels, making audits, hiring, and also firing of the managers. And owners, they trust me and they recommend my company to each other, which is the reference recommendation. And what is the most important, I think they had trust in me because they saw my passion. I always like when things are improving, numbers are improving, and that every product can improve, every hotel can improve. Some were good in operations, but not very good in sales. So I always found a way how to find the balance, improve the numbers, satisfaction. And then I was opening luxury properties, but also I help on 3-star properties. So I like this diversity also throughout the hotels. I also do executive search, which is my very popular, and also the mentoring of the general managers, because sometimes owner prefer younger general manager, which I will supervise. So most of the clients I have around 8-10 years. So we can build strategy and maintain it. Sometimes we have bigger consulting package, sometimes smaller, depends what they need. And this is something I value so much, because in during time I'm making consulting, I had 2 kids. And before giving first birth, I had 12 clients. So it seems a little too much to my husband. So he said, look, this is not possible. You don't know what's going to happen with the first kid. How are you going to manage? So I offered all the clients that, look, apparently I will have a baby. So you need to come with it, and you have a right to stop cooperation. And nobody said they want to stop. So again, it was very difficult for me that I have this trust. It was amazing support for me from them. And I was really grateful, and I want to work while having kids. It was my choice. So we have kind of a relationship with my customers, and this is something Pricewaterhouse cannot give you, Cushman cannot give you. I have that trust, and I feel this responsibility, so I cannot disappoint them. Whatever they need, I try to solve. So it's kind of consulting with heart, I would say.
Yeah, that's a great story. And of course, yeah, I'm glad that even that you were busy, of course, with the kids, they were also saying, well, no, we trust you, and that we need your advice, we need your help. And so basically you were having around 14 kids, really, not two.
Yeah, exactly. No, with support of the family, you know, you can't do that. So my grandfather, he was so proud of me that he was really taking care of my kids more than myself, you know, when I was small. He was babysitting more my kids than me a long time ago. And my husband, he said, there can be only one crazy person in the family, and you are the crazy person. So he has a full-time job as an employee. And of course, without his support, you can't do the job. If you don't have environment, quiet time, you can work, it's impossible. So I'm really grateful. I was lucky. I was really lucky throughout my career for the people I met. So you need that, because without this service, without this support, and with meeting really great people and colleagues during your career, you can't achieve anything. And there are many people who inspired me, helped me. So I'm trying to give it back also.
Yeah, so thanks for sharing that story as well. And it's important. And of course, well, at least I believe the situation of parenthood in general is improving as well in the market. So, like, yeah, that's important to see. That, of course, is not perfect, but it's a step by step going there, right? I wanted to follow up into, you said that you have people that inspire you and people, and also related to the topic of education I was mentioning before. So, yeah, do you follow any institutions or podcasts or books or any resources that you follow? Because to someone interested about the hospitality industry, or it can be also about other topics that you follow?
My source is mainly LinkedIn and several groups or people I follow. I follow Matt Weller with Muse, who was my colleague in Hilton. And I see him really like good example that everything is possible. He was my colleague, just normal person. And now he has amazing company from zero, actually. And it's only because he believe and trust in his journey. So it's really nice to see where he get. And I follow him because his ideas are really open-minded, different. He's not scared to say something. For example, his statement with allocations, like he hates allocations in the hospitality industry. And he's fighting about 90% of the other people. So this is one person. From our business is also Radka Teličková. Also, he is a person who is very innovative, and I follow her. We are not competition. They said professionals cooperate. They are not competition. So I'm happy to follow her. Who else? From gastro, because accommodation and F&B is connected. I follow Mr. Kastner. He's my big, I think, icon, because anytime we meet on some project, I feel so confident. Every time he said, Martina, it's not problem. Yes, we solve it. It's fine. We will solve it out. No problem. It's possible. Because F&B, it's not easy business. And they have procedures and everything to make it happen. And any project he ever started, I think with this attitude that you can do it, yes, it's not easy. You have to work hard. His projects are absolutely amazing and different, very different from everything else you see on the market. And from sources, Cornell University, of course, and Cornell School materials, it's a big source of information. So this is something when I have free time, I read.
Good. Just sorry to ask, but yeah, Mr. Kastner, what is full name, just to have it as a reference?
Luboš Kastner.
Okay, got it. So he's a restaurant owner, or yeah, I don't know him, but yeah.
there is a restaurant Červený Jelen. It's one of his projects. I think it's quite innovative project, and he's the member of Hospodářská komora. Mm-hmm. And he's the expert who is usually asked in the media when somebody want to know opinion about something in the gastronomy. So I respect him very much. And he's a good person. All those people didn't change during their careers. They are not arrogant. You have a question, you politely ask, they reply. They're really, really professionals, which I respect very much.
Yeah, it sounds good to, it's great to have these type of people leading the way in the gastro industry as well. Yeah.
And same with Matt. I think he has thousands of employees. And anytime I had a question, I sent him a message and he replied. I can imagine that there are different situation he needs to face, but he was always very kind.
Great. And do you follow any podcast or anything like that in the industry, or you don't like this type of, or you don't have the time for this type of media, let's say?
Yes, you need time, but then I drive a lot, so... podcast is meaning for me driving time. And Radka, she's having some podcast, and I also like Forbes podcast. Mm-hmm. Usually from different industries. And when there is somebody from our colleagues, of course, I'm happy to listen to the podcast, because you always get to know the person a little bit closer or from different perspective. You have some different relationships after the podcast usually. What are the plans? Last time I was listening podcast of Marcel Soural, Trigema, who bought Rokitnice nad Jizerou, where my cottage is. But he has some more projects in Czech Republic. So just for me to know what he is doing, what are the plans, what's the mindset.
Yeah, it's as you mentioned at the beginning, that you want to see this different perspective. And at the end of the day, out of that, maybe 1 hour, 2 hours podcast, you want that piece of advice that maybe will change something in your life, right? or do a small change for you.
Yeah, I was listening to one gentleman. I think his name is Jiří Novák. He is famous crisis manager, and it really fits to my life, I think, because I like planning. And he was talking in the podcast about how he planned everything because he wanted to study during communism. So he escaped to Canada, and that you really have to be prepared for the opportunity. So when I want to achieve something, I really trying to prepare for it, because when the opportunity come, you just have to catch it. And I'm kind of less scared how it's gonna finish, because I know I'm prepared and I want it. So I have my plans, and I try to, you know, educate this and there, to make some trainings, because when the opportunity come, I need to be ready. And it was something what resonate with me when he was talking. That it can really happen when you go step by step and you're ready.
Mm-hmm. So if I understand you well, then it means that you kind of, based on your plans, you have also what could happen, plan B or plan C, and then you are working to be prepared for those cases as well, right? Or something like that?
Yes. In hospitality, I think I just fit in this environment, because I always have A, B, C, D, E, F, I think. because in COVID, we had, I think, two X plans. Because you have to, in your brain, you have to make sure you have some plan. You have to be confident and you have to be ready. So any project I have, even some small, I take it really seriously, because it's sometimes it's really difficult projects. And I use all my skills, all my ideas, and I'm grateful for all the situation I faced in my industry. So I can really make maximum for the hotel, for the owner, for the employees, to make the best.
Okay. Yeah, I think we have covered a lot of topics today. So it's I am really grateful for that. I think I want to leave you for a last comment for today. So towards, yeah, is there any topic or anything else that you would like to remark that maybe we haven't touched today, that maybe for someone who wants to start in the hospitality industry or someone who is already there wants to improve? So yeah, if you can say something on this topic. Yeah.
Well, there's very smart women, which we have in business professional women, usually board members. So sometimes I really writing their sentences because it's so deep. And I think it was Microsoft CEO. And we asked her how she grows so much in her career. And she said, you know, I always choose the project which was very, very difficult. Nobody want to touch it. Nobody want to go to the department or to solve that project. And I was the one who saw it as opportunity and always solve the problem. And she was solving the problems within the countries, within departments, and she get noticed. And managers saw like, look, this woman, anytime she comes, she solved this problem nobody want to touch. And this is how she get all that promotions. And I think it's important not to be scared and do things differently. So anytime I have client coming to me with very difficult tasks, project, they know I will say yes. We have to plan it. We have to do it step by step, but they are confident that I will take it and solve it because nobody else want to touch it. Everybody want easy projects. You know, a long time ago, everybody want to do revenue management because it's nice, you know, revenue management. I do revenue management and everybody want to do revenue management. I also do things and projects which are not so sexy. They are not so, you are not having so much fun, but it's important for the entire project or for entire hotel. So okay. I think this is something when she said it, I was like, okay, this is me taking all this crisis projects or project nobody want to do because it's weird, different, difficult, and I take it, plan it, solve it, done. We can go to the next, some maybe more pleasant part of the project.
The time and the business will reward the people who look for these challenges, right? Just since you have mentioned a lot this group of women, so I think it's called Business and Professional Women, right? And
Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm. Czech Republic, and their website is bpwcr.cz, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I will just leave it in the podcast notes as well for someone who can be interested to join or get to know more about this group. So thank you, Martina, for your time. I think we really enjoyed this conversation with you. How can people reach you out if they want to continue this topic or any other questions for you?
Thank you, Ricardo. It was a really pleasant conversation because I'm happy anytime anybody is interested in what's behind the secret of hospitality. And I'm quite active on LinkedIn. So anybody who is interested in more information or just go for coffee, I'm open and I will be happy.
Okay. So again, thank you very much, Martina, for your time today. And I hope that you can continue in this great journey and with your different working endeavors and, of course, your personal life as well. So see you around.
Thank you, Ricardo.
See you.
Thank you very much for joining us. We hope you have enjoyed the episode and get to know important tips and lessons to apply soon in your own journey. Feel free to share with your friends and colleagues. Looking forward to seeing you next time.